title of our Bible study this morning is Life Under Construction. You know, some of the most beautiful and awe-inspiring like creations and sculptures, buildings, have taken years, even decades, to accomplish. And this includes paintings and, again, other type of modern marvels or even ancient marvels. I think about one that's kind of old, but important to our nation. You know, the White House. I recently got to go visit the White House, and just standing in front of it, this important building, it's like, wow, this thing is amazing. I got a little tour inside of it, my wife and I. And when you find out more information about the White House, you discover it took 13 years for this project to be completed. So you thought your house project took a long time. Okay, 13 years for the White House to be built. There was another, you know, really just cool feat of architecture that I got to go visit. It was Mount Rushmore. And so Mount Rushmore, I got to go and look at it. And even I got to climb on top of it. I got on top of George Washington's head. And this thing took 14 years to be sculpted out of the side of this mountain. I mean, this, you look at it, you're like, man, this thing is incredible. I can't believe how they made this. But as you go around the world, even outside of the United States, you see some pretty amazing buildings and creations that have taken a very long time to finish, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It took 199 years for them to finish the Leaning Tower of Pisa. The Great Wall of China. I've never been there, but I've seen some photos. And this is one of the most recognizable structures throughout the known world. Did you know it took about 2,000 years for the Great Wall of China to be built? Like, that's a long time. And this is a pro tip for my guys, by the way. You know, it's a reminder when you give your wife, you know, like an idea of when your projects are going to be finished and you're not done yet, you can rest assured. You can tell them, hey, listen, it's like the Great Wall of China. You know, this is a work not yet finished. You know, it's going to take a little bit of time here. For me, it's like cleaning the garage, or I've got a leaky toilet up in my house, a room I've never finished painting. And so my wife, you know, she often asks me, so are you going to get to those, you know, those projects? And I say, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, sweetheart. And she often says this, she's Italian. So she says, listen, if it was up to guys, Rome would have never been finished. And I'm like, okay, you're right. You're right. Okay. But on a serious note this morning, life under construction, I wanted to bring something to your attention that we're going to see in our scripture today. And it's about your life. It's about the building of your life that God Himself is working on. Your current state as a Christian, your closeness with God, the level of your holiness, your struggles with sin, your emotional ups and downs, just your overall progress as a Christian, where you're at on the race of life. If you're feeling discouraged, or if you're feeling like, man, I've not made much progress, I want to tell you, there is a sign hung under every Christian's neck, and it's this: life under construction. God is at work right now in your life, whether you see it or not, whether you recognize His hand or not. I want to give you a really just little bit of encouragement this morning. God is at work in your life, friends, and this work that He's doing, it's going to not be finished overnight. Okay, this isn't just a one and done type project. God is at work in your life through every moment, every second, every day, week, year, throughout your entire life, decade upon decade. God is slowly chiseling away and working on your life. And that's comfort, because we've got God Himself at work on us. It tells us in Romans chapter 8, God, background information about Him, Paul tells us, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed. Here's the image at work, the sculpting, conformed into the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. If God has gotten a hold of your life this morning, then you were under his craftsmanship. You were under his chiseling hammer. You were under his refining knife. God is at work in you, and he's not going to finish this until you breathe your last. And what is God molding you and shaping you and chiseling you into? He's molding you into the image of Jesus. He's helping you look and act and talk and live your life like Jesus lived his. And he's been at work in every Christian's life, by the way. This is a truth about the Christian life that every Christian can sit back and rest in. God is at work in me, and God's not going to give up on me. God's not going to throw in the towel because I'm not as far as I want to be. I want to tell you this. Every project that God starts, God finishes. Every project that God ever starts, including you, if he started in your life, he's going to finish in your life. The work that God undertakes, he completes to perfection. Verse 6 is going to be a very important verse this morning. Ricky, would you go ahead and read verse 6 this morning, as it's going to be a focus of our conversation. Thank you, Ricky. Verse 6 is a very important verse, and it says this: being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul, the author of this little book that we've been looking at, last week we started, and we discovered that Paul, as an author, is writing to a little church, a little group of believers that he had prior visited years before. So he's not seen them in a long time, and he's writing a word of encouragement. And so Paul is currently in a Roman prison. He's not near any type of comfort, chained up, thinking about life and the hardships of life, but also thinking about joy and thankfulness and things that he has been just praising God for. And one of the things that Paul is praising God for while sitting in a Roman prison, while chained up in the bottom of this dungeon, life not going well, one of the things that Paul is incredibly thankful for is that God is not done with his life. And not only is God not done with his life, but he's not done with the lives of the new believers that Paul had met throughout this entire region called Philippi. The book of Philippians is written to the church in Philippi. So thank you for reading that, Ricky. Here's kind of an overview of what we get. Verse 3, we find out Paul is thankful. We find out in verse 4 that he's got joy, a joyful remembrance. Verse 5, he's appreciative. He's just like, man, I'm thanking God. I'm so grateful. Verse 8, he's saying, man, I've got love and I'm longing to see you guys. You can almost hear and feel what Paul is really emoting here. Paul loves these believers, this fledgling little church, and he's just trying to, in the very beginning of his letter, let them know, listen, I'm thankful for you guys. I see what God is doing. I'm praising God for the work that he's doing. And when I think about you, I get joy in my heart. And that is really one of the effects, by the way, of being a part of a local church, is that you get reminded that God, it might look like God is not at work in your life because Paul's in the middle of a dungeon and you might feel like you're in a dungeon, You might feel like you're in a pit, in a hard spot, but when you're connected to other believers and you're involved in the lives of other believers, you often get to see beyond your circumstance, and you're able to rejoice with those who rejoice as they weep with those who weep. And so Paul's looking out, he's picturing them, and he's just praising the Lord. What are the three things that Paul is focusing on? He's focusing on three S's. He's focusing on their salvation. Number two, their sanctification. And number three, he's focusing on their support. The three things. The first thing is verse 5 and 6. Paul is thanking God for their salvation. Verse 5 says, I want to thank you for and praise God for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, which we've already read, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, he says, look, you've been my partners in the spreading of the good news about Christ from the time that you first heard it until now. So Paul, he's thanking them because from the very beginning of his ministry, these people, they were all in with him. They didn't hold back. They were just like, listen, Paul, you preach the gospel, we got saved, and bro, we're in with you. Okay, we've got your back, my man. Man, God is at work in this city. God is at work in our lives. And whatever God's going to do through you, we're going to walk beside you. So this is a partnership in the gospel, which is pretty amazing, by the way, that Paul would go into a highly pagan area, lead some people to Christ, and they would immediately come alongside him and join him. Which, by the way, I want to remind you that you should be doing the same work that Paul did. Wherever you're at in life, whatever circumstance you might find yourself in, you are called to bring the gospel with you. Every open door that you've ever walked through was an open door God wanted you to not only bring yourself into, but bring the gospel with you. The good news that God loves the world and he sent his son to die on the cross and he wants to do a work in them. God reaches the world through you. But I was looking at some stats. Did you know that 61% of Christians say that they've never shared their faith with a non-believer? Especially if you go even wider, 98% of Christians say they've never led another person to Christ. So you've got a small percentage to say, listen, yeah, I guess I've never really shared the gospel, or I haven't done it in a long time. But 98% of Christians have never preached the gospel and saw someone come to faith in Jesus. And man, what a shame that is. Listen, if God has pulled you out of the light, what a joy it is that you get to share that. You know, I said it before, good things are not meant to be kept secret. And if you have a really good meal, you immediately text somebody, call somebody. This morning, I made some pancakes for my boys, and I sent a picture to my wife because my wife's out of town. And so I sent her a picture, and she's like, babe, that looks really good. Like, these were delicious. I want to let her know I tasted some good pancakes this morning, and so I'm going to tell her all about it. Whenever you have something that's delicious or amazing, you encounter something that just blesses you or encourages you, you automatically want to share that. Paul felt the burden, man, I've got nothing greater that I could ever share with people than the love of Christ. And that's very similar to how we should feel, that we should be taking the gospel out and seeing God work through us and in us. And so this brought Paul joy and thankfulness in the midst of his situation. So here's a secret, by the way. If you're feeling a little down, you're in a tough season, go preach the gospel and go see God work through you. It will lift your spirits. It will lift your heart. It will remind you that God is not done with you and still doing work through you. So the first thing he was thankful for, praising God for, rejoicing over, was their salvation. The second thing that I see Paul really just overjoyed about is their sanctification. The second thing. We see that verse 9, he says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. 13 years later, this letter was written to these people. It's been a long time. It was 5 years in between visits. Paul had visited in Acts chapter 16. I've told you last week, Paul had preached the gospel. He got beaten up, put in a jail cell down in the bottom. He sang at midnight. An earthquake broke out and the chains fell off his wrist. I mean, it was an amazing, like miraculous intervention from God. And so, you know, that's where the church started in Philippi. Well, 5 years later, he visits in Acts chapter 20, and he brings some other of his buddies along with him. And so it's been a long time. He has only seen these people really twice. And so he's writing the letter and he's saying, listen, I know God is at work in you. I know he's going to finish the good work that he started. I know your life is under construction, but here's what I want to see from you. Verse 9, I want your love to overflow more and more. I want you to be a type of Christian that you are abounding, growing as a believer, that you're not stagnant. You're not, you know, foot off the gas pedal, coasting. You don't even have it on cruise control. This is pedal to the metal. You are taking ground. You are growing faster. You are going farther in your faith, He says, I want you to keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Verse 10, he says, I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Verse 11, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in you by the life of Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. So he's telling them, listen, guys, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. I know it's been a few years, and no matter where you're at in your walk with God, I want you to grow. I want you to take ground. And I want you to be confident of one really big thing, and that's verse 6. Be confident of this thing, that God, who started this good work in you, he's going to finish it. God always finishes the projects that he starts. You know, this is my encouragement for you friends this morning. No matter where you might be in your relationship with Jesus today, maybe it's been a really good week, maybe it's been a good month. You've been reading your Bible, you've been praying, and you feel the Spirit of God with you. He's been using you and things have been going well. It's been sunshine and flowers are blooming like spring. That might be some of you, but there might be some others that, man, you've been overwhelmed lately. You kind of feel like throwing in the towel. Your mind is racing and you're feeling overwhelmed and full of anxiety. You feel like you're in a dark place and temptations are coming at you left and right, and you're giving into those temptations. You've been failing lately. Satan has been bringing these pressures and you're just like, man, when is this going to stop? What's going on? Like, God, do you love me? Are you with me? Are you going to abandon me? Here's the encouragement. Our getting to heaven safely does not depend on you, on your ability to hold on to God and to persevere faithfully to the end. But in fact, the Lord will see to it that we reach heaven safely in spite of our failings, in spite of our shortcomings. That God is not counting your strength to be the secret, but he's telling you that he is the strength, and that's the secret. Jesus said it this way, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, that none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. Why is this important? Because some of you are in a hard season and your emotions are lying to you. Your feelings, they're lying to you. Verse 6 is an affront. It is a direct confrontation against whatever the enemy might be putting into your mind, whatever your feelings might be lying to you about. God is not done with you, friends. He's loving you, and he's loving you all the way to heaven. He's working on you. He's chiseling away, building you up. He's strengthening you. He's holding you. You're growing in love. You're growing in understanding. You are growing because God is doing the work. Now, this is kind of funny because, you know, I live in a really old house. When my wife and I moved to Alabama, we bought a historic house. It's a house built in 1900 on the nose, and so it's 124 years old. This baby is old, let me tell you, and it looks like it. Okay, it's taken a lot of work. When we moved in, you know, there was a lot of things that needed painting. Well, one of the things that we didn't paint because it was just really cool is the pantry door. The pantry door, when you open it, has all of these lines on it. And you parents know what I'm going to talk about. These lines have little names next to them with a little date. And through a generation upon generation, this pantry door has been the marker of the growth of children. And they've got names and ages, and it's kind of a really cool just artifact here where I get to see, you know, the growth of these kids that once lived in this house, that of all the families that lived in this house, I get to see, you know, where they're at and their height, that my boys have measured themselves up against it, and my boys are doing really well, okay? They're growing pretty fast compared to the lines on the pantry door. But I have found my boys are often unaware of their own growth. You know, my six-year-old would be like, "Dad, have I grown any?" And, you know, and I mark his height and son. We just marked it the other day, you know, one day later, "Dad, have I grown? Have I grown?" It's like, "Son, it's only been one day. Chill out." But they are unaware oftentimes of their own growth. And my 13-year-old boy right now is going through some big growth spurts. He's growing. It seems like an inch a night. I can't believe how fast this boy is growing. And I just want to tell you, you might not be feeling it or sensing it. And you might keep looking at yourself and realizing, "Man, I don't know if I'm growing," but I want to tell you, God is growing you. He's growing you. If you could just look back in the rearview mirror for a moment and see just where you used to be, God pulled you out of the dark. Whether it was a week ago or 10 years ago or 30 years ago, God pulled you from the dark. He has been at work in you. And this is all credit to Him, not even credit to you. This is not something that you've tried to do in you. God has been patiently and quietly at work as you follow Him, trust Him, walk with Him. God does the work on your life. And I wanted to encourage you this morning about that, that God has His eye upon your life. God has His hand upon your life. And each season will bring different types of growth. Some seasons will be, as we see in our nation right now, springtime, and flowers are blooming, and oh man, I love spring. Some of you, though, might be in a fall season where the leaves are falling off, and some of you might feel like a winter season of your soul. Some of you, like a plant, might be in a pruning season where God is cutting things off of your life. And those are all great things. Every season is a good season because God is at work in you. I want to tell you, listen, the farmer is closest when he's pruning. The sculptor is closest when he's chiseling. God is at work in you, and He's close to you. What a comfort this is that Paul was bringing to these believers this day, saying, "Listen, I'm thankful for the work you're doing. I see the salvation. I see the sanctification. I see what God is doing in you, and it's beautiful. It causes me to rejoice. I'm in the prison cell, but I'm rejoicing because God is at work. The faithful hand of God." It was Ruth Bell Graham on her tombstone that put this: "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." I love that. On her tombstone, "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." Can I tell you today, God is at work in your life. Thirdly, lastly, this is what Paul thanks them for. He thanks them for their support. This was something that Paul, despite circumstance, was able to rejoice over: their support. These people have become partners in the preaching of the gospel. That's what he thanked them for in verse 5. Verse 5, he says, "I want to thank you for your fellowship in the gospel." The New Living Translation says, "You've become partners in the spreading of the good news." And really, that Greek word there in verse 5 literally means the assistance. You've come alongside. You've not just been observers, but you've been participants. This Christian life that we're living is not one of spectator. You're not allowed just to sit back and, you know, let everybody else do the work. God expects you not to spectate, but to participate. And Paul thanks them for their participation. Every single believer has a part in the work that God is doing. God is not only at work in you, but He wants to work through you. He does. God right now wants to work through you in your businesses, with your employees, with your customers, with your family. And that brings joy to me, even as a pastor out here in Alabama. It brings joy to Patrick. I know Patrick gets excited when he hears how God is working through you, because what happens is we start supporting each other. The more that I participate, it's more that I start to realize my partnership with other believers around me. You know, I, throughout the years, have been one that gets skeptical at churches, and sometimes I'll be frustrated at certain ministries. But the more and more I serve God, I find less time to complain and more time to pray. The more that I get off the bench and in the game, I realize, man, I guess I don't have enough time, you know, to lay down and whine a little bit and gripe. I've got a lot of work to do. And if each and every one of us would focus on what God is calling us to do, I think we'd be more supportive of each other. And Paul was thanking these people for their support, their partnership. And the way that they partnered with him was twofold. They partnered with him financially, but they also partnered with him in prayer. You know, we find out later in the book of Philippians, we'll get there, we're almost done this morning. One of the things that Paul thanks them for in Philippians chapter 4 is that they sent a helper to Paul. His name was Epaphroditus. And so they realized, man, Paul needs some help. And so Epaphroditus brought a gift to Paul from the Philippians. And it was a little bit of money. It was probably some books, maybe some clothing, some food probably. Man, if someone's going to come visit me, they better bring me some food. Paul got a gift from Epaphroditus, and it was the Philippians that were thinking about Paul. They were praying for Paul, and they said, you know what, Paul, you're out there on the front lines. You're doing the work, and we recognize that. God's using us here, but God's using you out there. And so we're going to help pay. We're going to help support. We're going to send you somebody to encourage you. And what a blessing it is when we take a moment to think about each other and say, you know, I want to support my fellow believer. I want to pray for them. I want to supply a need for them. That's what the early church was all about, by the way. In Acts chapter 2, we see that the church, they lived together. They had all things in common. They were selling their goods and providing for each other's needs. Like they had each other's back. They recognized, man, God is at work. Life under construction. I see what God is doing over there. Man, maybe I can help a little bit. Maybe I could provide some material needs or even some spiritual needs in prayer. This is a final thing I wanted to comment about this group this morning. I wanted to ask, how often do you guys pray for each other? I believe that God is at work in this group. God is building up this group. God is deepening your walks with Him. He's teaching you brand new things about the Christian life through Patrick, through this ministry, through this company. But how often do you pray for each other? Would we start praying for each other that God would be with you, encourage you, uphold you, remind you that He's not left you and He'll never forsake you? I am thankful for the people that pray for me. And I want to encourage you to start praying for each other. I have written down all of your names, and I pray for you guys on a pretty regular basis. And I believe that God is not done with you. And so, as we close this morning, can I remind you the great love that God has for you today? No matter how you feel, God is not done. The sign is under the neck, under construction. And what a beautiful thing it's going to be one day when we get to heaven and I see the work that God has done on you. And that's probably the way that we'll all feel. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to thank God for the work that I've done, but I'm going to thank Him for the work that He's done in me, despite me. And I'm going to say, oh Lord, You walked with me all the way. You never left me through the dark days, even in the valley of the shadow of death, oh Lord, You walked with me. And You slowly, patiently met me in my need and lifted me up and infused me with strength and taught me to love You and follow You and serve You. Oh Lord, I thank You for the work You've done in me. Life under construction. What a good reminder. God bless.